The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
That we have blessings that are too numerous to name. Yes, Lord. That's it right there. Yes, Lord. Anybody got a yes in their spirit? Anybody got a... Oh, yes, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Say, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Woo! You've been good. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been you that good. Say yes, yeah, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Anybody, has God made a way? Come on, somebody. Woo, woo. Has he blessed your soul? Sometimes you got to dig deep down. You got to go below the surface for some of this stuff. Amen, amen, amen. Most holy, precious, loving, giving, and forgiving God. We come to you, O Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, to say thank you for all that you've done, for all that you're doing, and for all that you yet shall do in, with, and through our lives. As a matter of fact, dear God, we thank you for blessing us in spite of us, blessings that are too numerous to name. Lord, you've been good. You've been faithful. You've been just. Whew, hallelujah. You've been better to us, Lord, than we deserve. When we've gone left, you've turned us back right. When we wanted to go opposite the way you wanted us to go, Lord, we recognize that we're not here because we've been so good, because we've dotted every I and crossed every T, but because you have been just that good. For that, we say thank you. Certainly, we have so much to praise you about, but Lord, we have so much to worship you for being our God. And because you're our God, that makes you our God, our God, and our guarantee. Lord, some of us didn't think we would make it this far, but you saw fit to allow our lives to roll on for just a little while longer. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. So, Lord, we just want to take a moment, even as we get ready to hear a word from you. I thank you, Lord, for blessing me to be a vessel to cry out in this wilderness. So, Lord, as we prepare to hear your word, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, and speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me that you might be seen, and silence me that you would be heard. For Lord, we are your sheep and we need to hear your voice. For Lord, we need to follow you even now. Break yokes. even now. Help somebody who was bound up in their mind and their spirit and loose them right now in the name of Jesus. Loose somebody right now so they can hear your word. So as it falls down fresh, it'll fall on good ground. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. Let every heart say amen. If you brought your Bibles, Luke chapter 13, hallelujah. As they continue to minister, we every now and then I think that we just have to make sure that we are reminded how blessed we are, how loved we are. That was the emphasis in this morning's Sunday school. We cannot take for granted how loved we are. And so every now and then, while we rush to get to certain points of the day, rush to get to certain points of a program, and even rush to get rid of some songs and some things that got us over and got us through. But even as I listen to this, I have to remind myself, as big and as grown as I am, that it's the simplest of songs that every now and then that just remind you, that says, yes, Jesus loves me. And that's a song because it's, yes, Jesus loves me in spite of me. Care where you stand in the church, I don't care what you're wearing or what you somebody feels like you should be wearing. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. And I thank God for his reminding me how loved we really are. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. We're reading this morning from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says that he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, he says, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, till I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. I don't know about you, but every day of my life, every moment of my life, with this, I thank God for this subject, the God of another chance. The God of another chance. You may be seated in the presence of our God with your prayers. And by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to talk about the God of another chance. My brothers and my sisters, the 122nd Psalm, verse 1, says that I was glad. Come on, somebody. I got any Bible readers in the house? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, whether you attend here regularly at the First Baptist Church of West College Hill, Big Baptist Uptown, Another Baptist around town, Methodist, Presbyterian, non-denominational, or wherever you might go that opens its doors in the name of the Lord, you may consider yourself, as you have to consider yourself, as having been planted by God in that place. For my brothers and my sisters, there are a whole lot of folk who are just merely content with being glad with just going to the house of the Lord, But if you have ever desired to move from going to growing, speak Holy Ghost, then you have to be planted. I say it again. I said there's a whole lot of folk. There's a whole lot of folk who are content and they're glad to just be going out to the house of the Lord. But if you desire to move from going to growing, then you have to be planted. What do you mean, Pastor King? Why do you say that? Well, because you've heard me say this before. You can't grow where you haven't been planted. Come on, somebody. I don't care if it's a relationship. Y'all don't hear me in here. I don't care if it's a J-O-B. I don't care if it's something recreational. You cannot grow where you haven't been planted. I didn't say you didn't go there. But you can't grow there because you haven't been planted. And I've said it time and time and again that anything that's not growing is either dying or dead. Speak, Holy Ghost. According to the book of Luke here, chapter 13, it's not just King talking. God expects us to bring forth fruit in this season. Amen. Listen. We are planted by the blood of the Lamb. We are cultivated by the Holy Spirit, and we are fertilized by the Word of God. Can I preach in this house? That's the lesson that was trying to be brought out this morning. But you can't give what you don't have. Amen. And you got to understand that we have to be planted by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, you have to be born again. You have to be covered by the blood. But even after that, you need some cultivation. We need to be cultivated by the Holy Spirit and then fertilized and fed by the Word of God. Each of us, regardless of where you sit and what your name is, each of us is represented in this parable in one way, shape, or another. And whether you've been in church 1 year, 10 years, or for some of you, you say you've been in church all your life. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, God's greatest desire is that each of us makes the decision that came up this morning. Each of us makes the decision to become a fig tree in God's garden. Watch this, that will bear fruit. For the Bible says that ye shall know the tree by the fruit. I got some Bible readers in here. Ye shall know the tree by the fruit it bears. In our text, the owner of the vineyard was passing by this fig tree. Watch this. Not just the first time, right, Derek? Not even the second time. But the Bible says for the third time. Now, Deacon Clark, how does that go? Fool me once. Come on, somebody. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Now, some of y'all said it ain't gonna be no third time. But fool me three times, huh? I mean, in my best honest voice, Sanford and Son, you better watch it. Watch it. He passed by not once, not twice, but three times. And each time he came by with an expectation. He came by with an expectation, and even in some sense, he even came by with a hope that he would find some ripened fruit that would show that this particular fig tree was productive. But each time he came by, Dean Griffith, there was no fruit. I think one of the main points that each of us is supposed to glean from this passage today is that God is perpetually passing by. We like to say, pass me not, oh gentle Savior. You got to wonder about that now because he's passing by and he's surveying us one more time. And while he has passed by us a number of times down through the years, the fact of the matter is, it is not time for us to stop growing or producing fruit. Why? Because God is still seeking the fruit that we're supposed to bear in this year, in these days, in this time. Can I tell you, he's not looking for last year's fruit. Come on, somebody. He's not even looking for yesteryear's fruit. Y'all don't hear me in here. He's not looking for your daddy's fruit, your mama's fruit, your granddaddy or your grandparents' fruit. No, do me a favor. Tell him, neighbor. He's looking for the fruit. Y'all ain't what? Tell him, neighbor. He's looking for some fruit in your basket and from your tree. Amen. That's it. Time and time again, we come together and God speaks to us through his word. And as the message goes forth from whomever the God's appointed messenger might be, he waters us with the word of God. He has given us his own precious blood to cleanse us and to wash us and to give us eternal life. But now there must come a time to where God is looking for some works of faith as some fruit that you and I must bear. Sometimes, I don't know who I'm talking to, but sometimes a few fig trees keeling will respond and there breaks forth some green leaves. Some good works that'll come out upon the branches. The fruit will eventually begin to sprout up and begin to get to the point of trying to form. But before it can ripen, the word that was received slips away. Neglect of study begins to happen and meditation upon the word gets less and less. Then that fruit that once had great promise, the green leaves and the life that the water of the word had once given, is now cut off. And the fig tree begins to wither and die and lapse back into a dry and thirsty condition once more. There have been other times, however, when the master would pass by and the word of God would go forth. But there would be some fig trees in the garden that would not even receive the word or the water that was offered at all. Why is that? Well, because their thoughts and their minds are all over the place. And then I'd open up to the word that's coming forth. And what happens is that happens more often than you think. You can be sitting up under the word and miss the word. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Because the reason that happens is because you can be in church, but you're still caught up. You're caught up in your own circumstances. Our roots are pulled up all around us. And sometimes we are wound so tightly that no water can even come in or get into the areas that need to be nourished. Fortunately, too often, too many of us focus is not on God. It's not upon his word. Too often, our focus is on the cares of life, our circumstances, our conditions, the world, everything that's happening in the world, and so on and so forth. And so the Lord passes by once again. And he looks at some trees, and there is no fruit on that particular tree. Time after time, service after service, the Lord is passing by to inspect fig trees. And can I tell you, we are the fig trees. We are representative of the fig trees in this passage. Amen. He's looking for fig trees in his garden. He's looking for that ripened fruit of the Spirit. Now, just in case some of y'all are saying, well, I got fruit. Be careful what spirit is feeding your fruit and what you're producing. See, I need to let you know what kind of fruit God is looking for. When you have time, read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But we all know that one. There's another one I need you to read. That's in Ephesians 5, verse 9. You see, God is looking for some fruits of the Spirit. You do know that some different spirits other than the Holy Spirit can get in your tree. Y'all don't hear me in here. And it can begin to manifest himself. And some stuff can be born, but it won't be of the fruit of the Spirit. Nah. God is searching for some fruits of righteousness, not just you trying to be right all the time. God is saying, I don't care about you needing to be right. I'm looking for righteousness. Amen. For you see some good works that we have done. He's looking for some stuff that's changed our nature and changed our behavior, changed our character for the better. Listen, I don't know about you, but Keeling, as I was meditating on this word, I often think about, and I wonder how many times the Lord has passed by me, my fig tree, my life, and there was either no fruit, there was either not enough fruit, or there was not the kind of fruit he was expecting. Y'all don't hear me in here. Amen, amen, amen. And every now and then we like to talk about the things that we're doing and the things that we're saying, but I'm talking about those particular times that he might stop by and he's looking for some fruit. Amen. You see, we're good at talking about what we've done. We're good at talking about what we used to do. But what about that one time when God stopped by and it was that time that somebody or something made you go there? Amen. Amen. You had to go there. It happened to be a time that God stopped by. And then I wonder how many times he's passed by some of our churches and was grieved for the same reasons, because it was either no fruit, not enough fruit, or not the fruit that he was expecting. The parable of the fig tree, there came a time when the owner of the vineyard said to the gardener, he said, it's time to cut that tree down. It's time. It's time to cut that tree down and get another one planted. For in a sense, this one refuses to yield any fruit. Amen. And in essence, he's saying, we can't allow it to remain lest it take up some space. Y'all don't hear me in here. That can be used, some good ground, by another tree that can bring forth some fruit. Matthew chapter 3, verse 10 says, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. My brothers and my sisters, we cannot continue being unfruitful trees in the kingdom of God, because there's just going to come a time when the Father will say to us, that's enough, cut it down and throw it into the fire. And I don't know about you, but those are not the words that I want to hear when I come to the end of my life. As a matter of fact, I want to hear those words we repeat out all the time. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's why every now and then we need to make sure that we thank God that we got a mediator. We got an intercessor whose name is Jesus. Can y'all give God a hand clap of praise right now? We got an intercessor whose name is Jesus. It's Jesus. Can you just take a moment? You ain't thought long enough. Can you take a moment, because some of us are wound too tight? Can we just praise God for the intercessor right now? Amen. Amen. Because the devil has been accusing us all day and all week long, and there are some things that he has gone to God about us about. Jesus said, no, I died for her. I died for him. Let him live. Some days it ain't just another year. I'm taking life one day at a time. I thank God for his great love, his grace and his mercy, recognizing that it's Jesus who goes to the Father each and every time, and it's Jesus who cries out to God on our behalf for grace and for mercy. But every tree that doesn't produce fruit, the Bible says, will be cut down permanently. Now, what happens with that? This is why I was so intrigued this morning in the Sunday school, because we're studying in Jonah, and we're fascinated with Jonah, and we're talking about what he didn't do and how bad Jonah was, and the fact that he didn't, you know, he was disobedient, all this other stuff. And I said, don't be so hard on Jonah. That's us all the time. All the time. See, don't get too sanctimonious because you got in church, sitting in church, but your mind is sinning all over the place. Come on, somebody. A heart's not right. Amen. Amen. And so we have to thank God day by day for grace and for mercy. But here's where I'm getting to. The reason when we get to the point to where the tree is cut down, listen, that becomes permanent, because then there becomes no more room for repentance. And that was the point that Jonah had to get to himself. He just had to end up in a place. But listen, Jason, all of us had to get to that place. All of us had to get. I don't care if it was on your sick bed. I don't care if it was in your finances. I don't care if it was in your relationship. I don't care if it was in the midst of a bad addiction. Whatever the case may be, you better thank God for grace and for mercy. For every time we said, Lord, I won't do it again, but yet we keep saying, Lord, here I am again about what I said I wouldn't do again. Come on, somebody. It's just one of those things. So I thank God he didn't give up on me. And I'm looking at you and I'm thanking God he didn't give up on you. Because there are some folk who are here who wanted to give up on themselves. And if some folk around you admitted they gave up on you. But thank God. Thank God. Yes, all of us spiritually have been in some messed up places. All of us spiritually have been in some places that are foul when it comes to the Lord. But you better thank God he hadn't cut down the tree. Because when you get there, that's permanent. Then there is no room for repentance. There's no more opportunity to hear the word of God. Love about Jonah again. I keep going back to it. Jonah 1 and Jonah 3 starts the same way. And the word of the Lord came upon Jonah. In between chapter 1 and chapter 3, we all get fascinated about Jonah running and ended up in the belly of the fish and all this other stuff, his Sheol and all this other stuff. But chapter 3 opens up the same way. And the word of the Lord came upon Jonah a second time. God's word doesn't change. We go through changes along the way. But thank God I've been changed. Amen. And so when he spewed out onto dry land, God has said, I didn't give up on you, even though you tried to give up on some people. I'm sending you to. What family member have you given up on? What friend have you given up on? What ministry have you given up on? God has said, no, I'm speaking to you. And I'm speaking to you in the word. My mission for you doesn't change, even though sometimes we try to change the mission. But when you get cut off, there is no more fertilizing power of the Holy Spirit. The axe will fall and the tree will be cut down. Found in the Bible, a passage in Matthew chapter 13, 42. And the Father actually says to the angels, he says, cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. John 15, 5 through 7, Jesus said these words. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You are asked what you desire, and it shall be done for you. The key, my brothers and my sisters, to unlocking all that God has for each and every one of us in our lives is faith. It's faith. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29 in the Amplified says this: Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith and trust and reliance on the power invested in me, be it done to you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it's time. It's time for you. It's time for me, and it's time for us to reach into the what cannot be seen and fulfill that which God sees in us. It's time for us to reach into the what cannot be seen and allow God and see what God sees in us. And that is the ability to do what only he says we can do with the power and the aid of the Holy Spirit. God says that you are powerful, not pouty. He says that we are victorious, not victims. And he says that we're conquerors and not cowards. I'm going to say a passage. I'm going to read it slowly, and I want you to look it up on your own. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, and it's in the Message translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I deliberately didn't put it up because I want you to hear it, and I want you to go back and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13 in the Message translation. I'm speaking to somebody here up under the sound of my voice. It says, the smallness you are feeling is coming from within you. Your lives are not small. You're just living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. I'll say it again. 2 Corinthians, such is the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13 in the Message. It says, the smallness you are feeling is coming from within you. Your lives are not small. You're just living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. What does that say? I'm speaking to somebody, into your spirit, into your heart, into your mind. I'm speaking prophetically because I don't know all that God has for you. I just know God has great things. I'm speaking to you saying that you cannot allow your vision to be compromised, neither by the smallness that you see, nor the smallness that others proclaim that they see in you. People judge you from the outside. Man searches the heart. So God, too many people are judging you by your situation. And you need to let some folk know. And if you need to start with the person in the mirror and say, God's not through with me yet. Amen. There is nothing small about the God that lives in you. There is nothing small about the God that lives in you. So I stopped by here to let you know that the Lord is passing by today. He's passing by today as he's passed by other worship services Sundays before. And he's coming to see if you, if me, if we have borne any fruit for the kingdom. He's coming to see if we're dry or if we're thirsty and hungry. He's coming to see if we are still desiring to be productive. Don't miss the opportunity, because we never know when the last one is going to come. Let me ask you a question. It's a rhetorical question as I get ready to close. Are you being productive. But imagine that the Lord would view some of his fig trees in his garden as being productive. They're blooming. Fruit is appearing. It's bearing the proper fruit. And not only is it ripe, it's ready for harvest and to be used. Amen. I would also imagine that there's some others that he might come and view that are dry and not blooming and not bringing forth any fruit. But you know what? Again, I say thank God for grace and mercy. Don't look at any one individual and think that everybody has got it all right. Don't look at any one of us and think that we all got it together. Some of us are just barely holding it together. Amen. Amen. And as I prepare to open up the doors of the church, the number of people in the world and in the system that we live in who laugh, it seems, at our faith in an unseen God. And they laugh at our weekly pilgrimage to be in God's presence. But we don't laugh because we know that there's a blessing being in the house that is God's garden. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I've come to find out experientially, and I've come to find out in a way that only God can do, that when God blesses, it's a real blessing. Amen. When God blesses, the impossible becomes possible. When God blesses, the unattainable becomes attainable. And when God blesses, the unreachable becomes reachable. We don't know how God does what he does sometimes. I just know God can only do what only God can do. Yes, I'm indeed glad to be in the service one more time. And I thank God for each moment of each day, each week, each month, in each year, because he's given us all an opportunity to bear fruit for him. But what I'm also grateful for, Sister Fitzgerald, is that even after 100 and going on 129 years of this church's existence, God is still blessing this house. And God is still looking for us to continue bearing fruit for the kingdom. Look, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree. And in some instances, he's saying, and found none. He says, cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. But still, and I heard this morning, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. So I need to ask you, what sort of fig tree are you going to choose to be on today? But regardless, you thank God for being the God of another chance. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.